Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NIIT Limited Quarterly Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, CEO, NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you very much for joining this call, which is to discuss the quarter three financial results. Quarter three, just to paraphrase, is one of the seasonally low quarters for NIIT and actually all the education companies by and large all over the world. So I just thought I'll mention that, and therefore all comparisons will be on a year-on-year basis given the seasonal nature of the business. As usual, I'll go through a very quick review of the environment before I get into the results. The overall environment from an economic growth point of view, I think, is known to everyone. However, the only point which I would like to highlight is that last quarter, the Indian economy seems to have shown a small, a slightly better growth than the previous quarter. But of course, the high interest rates and sticky inflation continue to become, remain sore points. Export-driven sectors are picking up, must say, aided by the weaker currency. The volume growth in IT sector, as is visible from the results declared so far, is on an uptake, and we can expect better things as there are signs of recovery in developed markets, barring minor skirmishes and hiccups which take place from time to time. But even in this environment, the overall sentiment for IT training has remained weak, and I think that is solely contributed by a reduction in net hiring levels by leading IT companies. First 9 months results of HCL, Infosys, and TCS have shown that in net hiring there is as high as a 38% drop in net hiring. And that is definitely a cause for concern. However, they have all consistently maintained that hiring would pick up in the later part of the year. It's also visible from a positive trend in campus hiring, which is beginning to be visible. So we do hope that this activity will change. Having said that, hiring by banks have maintained the momentum and with healthy demand from both public and private sector banks. More economic activity and positivism is leading to people adding more skilled workers, especially in the retail sector. And lastly, in the US and Europe, with the improving sentiment, spending on corporate training is remaining robust, even though sales cycles and transition periods remain stretched. So with this outlook, I would first give the scorecard on our four platforms of growth. As you know, NIIT itself has been going through a fairly large transition as we are exiting certain kinds of businesses that we have been doing, typically to do with government contracts. As well as the changes which are taking place in the environment is causing some transition. Our focus has been on improving profitability, liquidity, capital efficiency, while preparing for growth through the four platforms of growth. And our first scorecard is on the growth platforms on individual learning business. In the cloud campus, we now have reached a cumulative of 53,000 enrollments and 210 centers have been enabled with 92 courses available through cloud technology. That is a fairly substantial jump in this quarter. In corporate, which is where we have seen the best results, the managed training services has now got 18 global customers and revenue visibility has increased from $146 million last quarter sequentially to $171 million. And the reason is the finalization of 3 new contracts this quarter, which we will talk about as we go further. Managed training services are now contributing 82% of the overall corporate learning solutions business. NGuru solutions in schools have now added cumulatively 1,801 schools and is now contributing 58% of the school learning solution. YuvaJyoti, the skills business, has now done cumulatively 13,300 enrollments, have built a fairly strong order book in quarter three, and the reach has expanded to 52 locations. So overall, in numerical terms, the highlights would be starting with corporate learning solutions, where overall revenues are up 34% year-on-year. EBITDA margin is at 13%, which shows an improvement of 60 basis points year-on-year. Managed training services within that is 57% year-on-year and contributes 82% of the overall corporate revenues. Three new MTS contracts contribute to the order intake of $24.2 million, which is also high in recent times. This has caused a revenue visibility of $171 million over the next few years for corporate learning solutions. Non-GSA in school learning, non-government in school learning solutions contribute 58% to SLS revenues compared to 39% in the same period last year. And individual learning solutions, while IT remained subdued and challenged, revenues from non-IT training offerings have improved by 36% year-on-year and now contribute 28% of revenue mix. For the benefit of those who keep a track of this revenue mix, last quarter this revenue mix was 76-24, and from there we have moved to 72-28 in this quarter. But more significantly, in quarter three, cloud campus and aggressive cost management have countered the adverse effect of operating leverage and cost inflation, which has resulted in a 496 basis points improvement in margin. I think that is the real significant part, and we'll talk more about that. Therefore, at an overall level, the EBITDA margin has improved year-on-year by 279 basis points to reach 6%. And not only that, in the balance sheet, a fairly strong collection in quarter three has reduced the bills receivables by 364 million, overdue bills receivables by 364 million in just last quarter alone. One way of looking at these results is that it's a low seasonal, seasonally a low quarter, and therefore insignificant in terms of its impact on the total year. On the other hand, if you watch the trends of the last few quarters, then I would say this is the first time that the revenue this year, even though they are just not even, they're just a few basis points better than the same period last year, they are better than the same period last year. And I think in recent quarters, I would say in 6 or 7 quarters, we would not have seen this happening. So the fact that revenue is improving over the same period last year is one indication. More significant indication of that is in EBITDA, where EBITDA margin, which has always been, or EBITDA has, or in rupee terms, has been lower than the same period last year, has for the first time shown not just an increase, but a very substantial increase. And the other important issue in our results is how we have been reducing the capital intensity of the business, and that is the net fixed assets and how they have been reducing on a quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year basis is the third thing. And overall, the impact of this is also visible in the PAT, the profit after tax, where for the first time after many quarters we have a year-on-year improvement, even though it's a small improvement, but in percentage it appears large. These are some signs of revival that we feel should be considered. In overall financials, while the revenue is flat in percentage terms, percentage growth terms, in operating expenses, we were able to do a fairly strong optimization of cost, and of course, a stronger dollar did help us. Even though the dollar had strengthened a little over the sequentially over the previous quarter, so overall we are able to see an EBITDA improvement. Depreciation has been at a lower level as we have stopped taking up capital intensive contracts, as well as government defocusing on government also obviously contributes a bit to it. In net other income, we have the interest expenses. Even though net debt has come down, we have some forex loss, and there are other income items. On tax, we have a slightly positive tax, and overall, therefore, in profit after tax, we are at 12 million in contrast to 5 million last year's same quarter. The revenue, as I mentioned before, has been impacted by a weakness in the IT training part, and the second on the closure of certain large government school contracts. Just to remind everybody, Andhra Pradesh 2005 schools, Maharashtra 600 schools, and going forward in the next quarter, again two more states will be closing down their schools. If I look at how the EBITDA is versus last year, the predominant advantage of EBITDA has really come out of cost management, while the forex and cost management contributed positively to it. Cost and wage inflation got more than offset by the cost management initiative. And lastly, the operating leverage and the product mix also did put a burden, since our individual learning business to that extent was challenged. Overall, in our net revenue, the real contributor has been corporate in terms of positive growth to offset the individual business, which has had a negative growth, as well as schools, which was expected given the downsizing in terms of government schools contracts as they are getting over. EBITDA change has been contributed by individual and corporate. Individual by 49 million and corporate by 38 million. Moving on to discussing each of the businesses, Corporate Learning Solutions has grown 34% year on year. There is a 60 basis points improvement in margin, which has gone up to 13%. This is a very good performance, both from QOQ as well as YOY basis, and including in volume terms. The volume growth has been very strong in terms of 15%. Order intake of $24.2 million is one of the strong points of this quarter. Pending order book has gone up, and if you see our performance over the last 6 quarters, pending order book of $46 million has gone up to $60.2 million this quarter, and about the same percentage has been executable over the next 12 months. 69% now executable over the next 12 months. The revenue visibility has gone up to $171 million. What has caused this performance is the superior offering that we have for our customers, as is also visible from some of the awards that we have received from our peer community. Brandon Hall Excellence Awards, which are like the Oscars of content and content development. Some of these awards this division was able to bag this quarter. School Learning Solutions, the non-GSA contribution to revenue is improved to 58%. On the other hand, the GSA has dropped by 51%, due to completion of government contracts, which, as I explained earlier, are from Andhra Pradesh and Maharashtra. We had a fresh order intake of 92 million. We now have a pending order book of 4.28 billion rupees, 27% executable over the next 12 months. In individual learning solutions, the noteworthy point is the non-IT revenues, which are up 36% and contribute 28% to net revenues. 1 year ago, this percentage was 18, and last quarter it was 24. So in all possible, both sequentially as well as on a year-on-year basis, non-IT revenues have been the strong point of growth in individual learning solutions. Within non-IT, I think the stronger one will be banking. Banking enrollments have been very good during last few quarters, and including last quarter. In IT, the new age IT products have received very good response. In last quarter, we launched a new course in business analytics for working professionals, and we have had a very encouraging response from that in, I think, 17 or 18 days in the last part of third quarter in December itself. But real improvement that we see in individual learning solutions is to reduce the effect of operating leverage, and that is by aggressive cost management and implementation of cloud campus. So that has what is called a 496 basis points improvement in margin. In fact, last year, same quarter, we were at minus 3% EBITDA margin. From there, we have gone up to plus 2%. Banking enrollments are up 33%. Overall enrollments were at 64,000. Overall placements, though, were down at 9% over the same period last year, but are at a very significant 8,117 level. This needs to be understood with the statement that net hiring in the IT sector has been on a much lower side this year. Pending order book in ILS has been 2.054 billion, 66% executable over the next 12 months. Skill building solutions, though in numeric terms, has not yet reached a level where it can be considered significant, but I think has had a good quarter in terms of enrollments. So cumulative, now we have 7,000 enrollments, 6,955 to be precise, nearly 107% over the same period last year, with an order intake of 32 million rupees. And the fact that NYJ courses or skill building solutions courses are now available at 52 locations. Balance sheet has been an area of focus for the last, I should say, 7-8 quarters. So accounts receivables have reduced to 364 million. The DSO, days sales outstanding, is down to 75 days on an overdue basis and 129 days on an overall basis. There has been a reduction in net debt also. Mentioned, it is at 723 million after the exchange impact, but excluding the exchange rate impact, it's at 632 million. Secured loan reduction, there was a reduction because of repayment of an NCD, which was falling due in last quarter, of 167 million rupees. I mentioned the capital intensity, which has also lowered, which has been lower than the same period last year, and is visible in the reduction in net fixed assets. Our headcount has continuously been has been reduced. We are down 160 numbers in headcount on a quarter-on-quarter basis. This is to realign ourselves to the new product mix, as well as to the new environment in which we are operating. The shareholding pattern is also available to you for discussion. Overall, the direction of the business remains the same. The core platforms of growth will be the big drivers. The cloud campus will be further strengthened and will extend across all as many more products as possible. The managed training services, the focus will be, as we go forward, on improving our in Greenlake, we have fairly strong funnel and very good reference base, so we think we will be able to improve that. In schools, to focus on private schools and offer those products where we are clearly differentiated. And in skills, to build volumes, to take advantage of the capacity that we have created. In individual, the focus is on the disruptive technologies, social media, mobility, analytics, cloud, design, and some of these courses have already shown very good traction. Cloud campus will continue to remain the predominant delivery model. So that's where we stand at the end of this quarter. I would like to now stop and take questions and get into discussions on other subjects. So, operator, can you please open it up for questions?
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. The first question is from the line of Sumitra Chatterjee from Espirito Santo. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to get a sense on the enrollment trends in the ILS segment. Now, if you look at for the last 7 or 8 quarters, our enrollment has been continuously declining. So when can we expect that this trend will reverse? Or that is one. And second is, if you could clearly specify what are the cost initiatives that we are taking which can bring down our cost base further, so that even if the revenue is remains flat for 1 or 2 more quarters, our margins can continue to improve.
Yeah. So, I think as far as enrollments are concerned, I'll ask my colleagues to chip in as well. But as far as enrollments are concerned, there is a very robust growth in non-IT offerings. IT enrollments growth is impacted by lower net hiring in the IT segment, and that, you know, creates a negative sentiment. As times are improving and as IT sector is improving, and they have already taken advantage of the capacity utilization lever that they had, we believe that the hiring will pick up, as is also visible from their comments. And along with that, that sentiment, I think our enrollments will also increase. However, non-IT sector continues to show a robust growth, and we will get the benefit of that. You can see the rate at which the non-IT growth has been consistent over the last few quarters, and we have increased our share of non-IT from 18% to 28%. On cost optimization, I think the real cost optimization is coming by making sure that we improve the capacity utilization through one NIIT, by making sure that we do a consolidation of centers, because center cost is what causes maximum fixed cost, and we combine entities and roles to deliver a higher benefit to our customers. Having said that, I will pass it on to the customer who will add more to it. Just one moment.
Yeah, thank you, Vijay. Basically, Vijay has touched upon the core points. The last quarter enrollments were down, but in a way the deceleration has been lesser than the previous quarters. But the fact remains that that part of the enrollments, which is dependent on the IT sentiments and IT intake, has remained impacted. And that is why several quarters ago we started this whole process of enlarging the basket of non-IT dependent products. And I should say that we have been able to launch a few specific products in this segment, and the starts in these have been pretty encouraging for us. And that explains the growth rate in the non-IT segments, as well as the composition of 28% in the total revenue for the last quarter. We expect the trend to continue, and there should be a tailwind as the IT sentiments improve over the coming several quarters and IT recruitments coming back again. So we would have created a sufficient portfolio of non-IT as well as will be standing to gain when the IT sentiments start improving. So that is the way we are looking at, and we are not done yet with the non-IT product basket. We still have several products which we are working on, and we'll be launching them over the coming several quarters. On the cost front, Vijay has touched upon the key points. We should recognize that during the last quarter, the benefit of the margin improvement has come out of one is the overall cost management, fixed cost management. Second is benefits starting to flow as a result of cloud campus. And otherwise, you would have noticed that the 11% reduction in the revenue would have naturally given us a very negative operating leverage. We've been able to overcome that as well as post little less than 5 percentage points improvement in the margins. We are still working on few other areas of cost management that should render the cost basis at a lower level than even where we are today.
Okay. And just I missed the net cash and the debt position. If you could give me a give it to
yeah.
me.
So the net debt is at 723 million. Okay. And the cash is 759 million.
759.
Yeah. I do want to mention to you one thing which we took for granted. Cloud campus by itself also reduces the fixed cost structure in a certain manner. So that has also been a contributor to the cost reduction.
Okay. And just one more thing on this cloud campus thing. I mean, because we will be giving this services over the cloud, how does this impact the revenue sharing that we have with the franchisees? Is there any impact? And just wanted to get a sense on that. And another question is on the government school business. Because we some of the contracts are getting completed this year, will our depreciation on an absolute basis reduce on a year-over-year? In FY15, that's it.
So let me answer the second part first. The government schools have reduced and so has the depreciation.
Correct.
And that will continue to reduce. This year we have closed two contracts, Andhra Pradesh 2005 schools as well as Maharashtra 600 schools. We are going to close two more contracts in quarter four, though they are smaller. One is Assam and one is Rajasthan. Rajasthan is 1600 schools. And Assam is about 130 schools.
Okay. On the cloud campus and relative share of franchisees, they do get recalibrated with the relative values that we provide to the student. In the case of cloud campus, since faculty and some of the centralized services are metered out of NIIT's cost base, to that extent, the share gets readjusted. But it's a very fair and equitable, discussed well with before kind of an adjustment and calibration that takes place. It is, in other words, it's commensurate with the value that each one of the players provide to the student.
Okay. So have we seen any franchises, you know, because of this realignment of revenue sharing, has there been a case of, ever since we started, that franchises have voiced their, you know, the discomfort on this, and they have basically decided to move to a different business altogether? Because
far from it, actually, franchisees find this as a fantastic vehicle to be able to launch new products, especially in the many new non-IT areas that we're launching. They're finding this is a fantastic avenue and a platform to be able to get into newer areas of training. They look at it as a favorable trend to get them to improve their, you know, student base. So,
it's actually been very positive for franchises because faculty was always a major challenge for them. And here you get the benefit of expert faculty at a remote location. So it is a very big positive.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipen Shah from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats on a good set of numbers. The improvement in margins is great. Just to carry on from what we already discussed in the first part of the questions, on the ILS business, we all understand that if the IT companies start recruiting, then obviously we will be starting to get more enrollments. But Vijay, if you can just throw some more light on what are the early indicators which we should look out for? Is it just the hiring, or is it that sentiment start changing with the students before that, or when exactly would you say that there is an uptrend which it could be starting?
So obviously the uptrend will, as soon as the net hiring shows a reversal, you must know there is some inventory available.
Yeah.
Because there is a bunch of lateral hiring possibilities, and then there is a backlog of previous year's campus recruitments which have still to be finished. But I think in maybe two quarters from then, you would be able to see that the sentiment will turn positive. What I'm noticing is that the speed at which now news spread, of late, the sentiment changes much faster than it used to earlier. So it is quite likely that as soon as positive things start getting talked about, things will improve.
So
however, as far as we are concerned,
yeah,
we are preparing ourselves for a year where there is a good possibility that our non-IT will continue to grow at the same rate and better as we go forward. Mm-hmm. And IT, while will show improvement, but we can't bank very heavily on it, given that there is an uncertainty in the environment which is still there. Therefore, our corporate learning solution, which is very robust and with improving margin, our non-IT, which is very robust and is growing very, very fast. Corporate also is very significant now. It is a large percentage of our total business. And the fact that placements will show a positive trend, we do hope that in the coming season, sentiment should definitely turn far better.
Yeah, I think that is what I was coming to, like April to June, and maybe June, September are the best quarters for us as far as enrollments are concerned. So we do expect some positive rub off of the sentiment in the enrollment numbers in those two quarters?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Right, I think that should be great. On the other hand, maybe if we can get some more light on how much was the cost benefit which we realized during the quarter out of the fixed cost management and the cloud. I think in the last quarter we had about 6 crores benefit which we derived out of these.
Yeah. This year, this quarter, we did an exercise to figure out, and that's actually visible in the EBITDA walk. We did an exercise of how much we lost because of operating leverage, how much did we gain out of Forex, and we believe that it is in excess of that number on a year-on-year basis. So if 6 crores is what we had got till last quarter, then this quarter, on a year-on-year basis, which means quarter 3 versus quarter 4, it's a total benefit of 129 million rupees,
yeah,
which is nearly 13 crores.
You said quarter 3 to quarter 4.
No. Okay.
This is quarter 3 last year to quarter 3 this year. Sorry.
Okay. So this is emanating combined out of fixed cost and cloud both.
Very good.
Okay.
The overall cost benefit that we created.
Okay. And we understand that there are some more levers which you are targeting in terms of additional cost rationalization. Any numbers if you would like to give us, or any sense of how we should look at the cost or the margins going ahead in ILS?
I think the margins will show an improvement as we improve our capacity utilization and introduce one NIIT. I think it's very easy to say this is what we foresee in cost reduction, but the taste of the pudding is in eating it. So as we realize it, we'll share it with you as we go along. Okay. But there is more where this comes from as cloud campus starts maturing and we are able to get the full benefits. We are not yet getting the full benefits of cloud campus.
Okay.
So we have bought some.
How much is the capacity utilization?
This quarter, the capacity utilization is 35%.
Okay.
So there is a lot of headroom available in capacity itself. As you know, we have operated in the past at 65%.
Yeah, okay. And the other thing on the SLS front, what could be the impact of the two school closures in the first quarter of next year or maybe even in the fourth quarter?
Well, there is a volume as well as EBITDA, but definitely an EBIT benefit as each of these schools close up. And the next quarter schools will not add up to a very large number.
And impact
so
in,
we have this
impact
quarter,
effort, next year.
What I mean is in the following year, do we have more schools coming up in the following year or next year? Just one moment.
57, how is this? Next year?
Okay. So next year, the total revenue impact of this will be about 57 million in FY15 out of closed schools.
Oh.
Of these two, the ones which are going to happen in
quarter four,
which is Assam and Rajasthan.
So
one of the Assams and Rajasthan.
Full year impact will be 5.7 crore rupees on revenues.
Yes.
Okay. And obviously they will be profit making, so we should be having some negative impact on the EBITDA, the absolute numbers.
There will be an impact on EBITDA, but there will be a stronger benefit in depreciation because these both schools at least one of them was EBIT negative.
Okay. 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 Right, and any sense we can get on how will the SBS, that is the skills building solution business, pan out in 15? You expect losses to be in this 20-25 million rupees range per quarter, or you expect them to come down?
No, the losses have already begun to come down. So we expect this business to be at a much we should start hitting break even in this business during next year sometime.
Okay. Right.
But overall year impact we will have some losses, but I think we will start hitting on a run rate basis a break even in some of these cases. EBITDA break even.
Okay. Right. And lastly, any other new business which we are looking to enter maybe in the next 2 or 3 or 4 quarters?
Well, there are some areas which we are examining, which are more verticals in which we would like to get in. We are not looking at increasing capacity in a strong manner because I don't think it is an all clear signal from environment as yet. So we are extremely cautious on any capital investment.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of capacity available in our existing centers. What we would examine is innovative means by which we can add new products in our existing lines rather than getting into new businesses and using the existing capacity.
Yeah. So my question more was towards that, are we looking at entering any businesses which could initially take up say investments and maybe once again result in a lower ROE, or maybe it could incur losses over the next 3 or 4 quarters, something what SBS is doing right now?
No.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much and all the best.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Amar Maurya from India Nivesh. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks a lot and congratulations for strong growth in corporate learning solution consistently from many quarters. Sir, my couple of questions. First of all, on the SLS segment, if I look at non-GSA side, still we are not able to deliver growth on that front. I mean, if I look on a 9-month basis, it is only 0.1% kind of growth on the revenue front. So I'm wondering why we are not able to grow even the non-GSA business.
Yeah, I think there are a number of contributors to that. I will ask Mr. Rajendran to say a little bit more about it.
So, in the non-GSA business, we have basically, if I were to cut the strategy part and just look at products, we have basically four products, which is the interactive classroom, the cloud-based ERP, mm-hmm. the math lab, and the IT training, which is called the IT Wizard. Now, one thing which we did last year was that we took a decision to stop giving hardware along with the ICR solution. So ICR solution is an interactive classroom, typically has been for everybody in the market, mm-hmm. provide the hardware in every classroom, which is the board and the projector and all that, and also the digital content. Now, we reviewed it internally, and we found that, number one, doesn't make sense to give the CapEx from our side. And like Vijay told you, a lot of initiatives we did this year in terms of managing our cost better. We stopped giving the CapEx. Now, two points of impact. One is that the market was used to other competitors earlier providing the CapEx and the digital content, and they continued to want that. So we had largely longer sales cycles. Number one. Number two was, since we are not providing the CapEx and only the digital content, the ticket size of every school contract became smaller.
Okay.
So, however, in the long run, we expect that because of this, seminal decision, our profit margin will improve in the private schools also.
Okay. So, but then, sir, even in terms of the operating margin front, like what we are delivering today is not something remarkable. So, when we can expect, operating margins or in terms of the operating cost to come down, say at 80s level or 84, 85, where it is today running at 94 or average is 93, 92.
According to me now, the ICR part has moved into a IPR game, which means that we need to create volume in order to get the best out of the investments already made in creating the IPR. So, between quarter three and quarter four, typically, you can see in the past also, it's quarter four where order intake decisions happen as far as the schools are concerned. That will start burning into revenue end of quarter four onwards. So, to answer your question of improvement, I would think that we are talking about probably quarter two of next year.
Okay. So, meaning gradual improvement will start from Q1, or you are saying by Q2 some improvement will come?
You will see improvements in Q1 itself, but I would think more Q2, because that is the time when revenues will start kicking in. Even for some of the orders which may come in Q4, we may not be able to take revenues because some of these school start dates are in March, April, then April, May, then May, June, July. So we'll have to adjust to what the customers tell us in terms of recognizing the revenue.
So, one more question, primarily on the depreciation front, since it has been asked by others, but this is in repetition. Sir, if I look at depreciation, obviously we did reduce the depreciation by almost 11% in the 9 months on a steady straight, comparable basis. But then I wanted to know, by when we can see, today the depreciation is in three digits. By when I can see the depreciation should come down remarkably, as percentage of the revenue?
I think as more and more schools close down, we have a closure chart of that. It will be let's see where all are the assets deployed. Where all are the fixed assets deployed? Okay, so the fixed assets One is, I can give it to you right now. We have the contracts which we have, which are very strong on depreciation, will, the large number will get over in FY15.
Okay.
Though there are two contracts which will run in FY16, and one will go on till FY17.
Okay.
So, the depreciation will consist, because see, we are not adding, making new capex.
Okay.
And more these assets are getting used and retired, we are not adding capex, and we are, now the growing businesses we have do not have great capex requirements in coming years.
Correct.
Yeah. So, while normal capex will happen, software licenses are to be renewed, computers have to be renewed, but those are not big numbers in contrast to the large capex that we are used to.
Hmm.
So, I think you will see an improvement in capex in depreciation as we go along.
Okay. Now to the corporate learning solutions, the three deal wins which we had won this quarter, can we elaborate what kind of deal wins are, and if you can give us some TCV, what is the average size of the deals?
Okay, so just to give you an idea, whenever a new deal comes, whether we have an order intake or not, but we definitely contribute extra to the revenue visibility.
Okay, so that has been already incorporated.
Visibility has gone up by $25 million, approximately, give or take.
Okay.
That is the size of these three deals.
Okay.
Give or take, again, I'm just giving a rounding off the number.
Correct.
Just explain you the three deals. One is, two of these deals are for delivery of training services, which means we would have to organize delivery of training on various subjects. One of them is a company based in Asia Pacific, in Australia to be precise, which is a global footprint, and one of them is an existing company from Europe, which is a huge telecom equipment major. Which is where the repeat order is from. The second repeat order is from a same telecom equipment major, but a large content development deal. Now, typically, content development deals have a better profitability than delivery services deals, because they have delivery services have large amount of logistics expenditure. Then training management, which is becomes sometimes a part of that, has also very good profitability. So that is the structure of these three deals.
Okay. So, sir, it's a pretty broader question which I want to know. I mean, if you had done some analysis on that part, primarily into the individual learning solution segment.
Yes.
Now, are we, like, what we are seeing is the significant growth in the non-IT space,
yes,
and which is a very good innovation which we did. Now, what I want to understand is, is it we are seeing that the IT space, whereas the traditional IT space, the training part is significantly going to, the share of that part is significantly going to come down over a period of time, and because of the change in the market dynamics, or, you know, from where I'm coming, like, you know, if I see the hiring pattern of the IT companies and the salaries which had been offered, those are the levels had not gone up from past 3 years, 4 years, like people who used to get 3 lakh, 3.5 lakh, 4 lakh packages, even today they are getting the similar packages. So I'm just trying to understand, is it the dynamics of the market is changing in a pretty different way?
Well, it will be wrong to believe that there are no changes. There are definitely changes which are taking place in the market. But let us just see, IT, there were two kinds of people. One were the kind of people who were involved in production and maintenance and operations. those who are engaged in infrastructure management services, those who are looking at development in traditional platforms where you get large amount of outsourcing deals. Now that is where the companies where their major businesses are coming from, and they applied all the efficiency parameters and efficiency measures which was to improve capacity utilization. So if you see in the last 2 years, IT company's capacity utilization has moved from early 70s to mid 80s now. And the question is, you can't keep improving capacity indefinitely. While their volumes are beginning to show an increase, and right now they are getting the benefit of that volume into conversion into revenue through better capacity utilization, going forward, that can't be an indefinite phenomenon. Having said that, there is also a backlog of previous year's graduates who are also waiting in the queue and have, you know, taken on, should I say, lesser attractive jobs and will therefore be available for lateral hiring. So as the fresher hiring picks up, you will see a change in this sentiment, and this is, according to me, a demand-supply issue. But having said that, there are new technologies and disruptive technologies which are coming in where the demand has been consistent, and that's where we are facing people. So one change which we are bringing is also improving the percentage of disruptive technologies which will create a distance between us as well as formal institutions, because formal institutions can't switch to new technologies very easily. And that benefit is what we will take advantage of. So going forward, I do see the sentiment recovering. I do see that IT sector is not going anywhere. I do see that there will be a constant change requirement, and there will be a larger demand for shorter calendar duration courses. Last but not the least, working professionals, which by itself have become a very sizable population, about 2.2 million plus working professionals. They present a very sizable opportunity. And one example of this I would like to talk about is the business analytics course, which we launched in the first week of December. And I think in the first 17 or 18 days, we have a very strong response from working professionals. So we're very enthused by some of these changes.
Got it.
Yeah, I just want to add that while it, without taking away the fact that in the recent past the sentiments have been bad, but I also want to highlight the fact that we have always looked at newer and newer formats of providing solutions to students. We used to be doing the JNIT, the long-term program, only for a long time. As the consumer preferences went towards more shorter duration but more intense courses, they were the first out of the gate to launch the diploma programs which are focused on graduates and making them employable. So similarly, well before anybody else could think of, the cloud campus as a format to enable us to achieve cost efficiencies as well as ability to launch newer products quickly has been established by us. Now we have in the last couple of quarters very decisively entered into non-IT fields, which represent the non-IT field as well as the new age IT skills, what Vijay is referring to as disruptive new technologies. So while the market on a gross term has got certain trends which are obvious, but our ability to go levels deeper inside of that and then come up with formats and products that will make us address them more sharply is something that we have been attempting. And with the return of the larger sentiments, I think we are better prepared than ever to tap the opportunity that will come along.
Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks. That's all.
I was just thinking about one small statistic. You said the salaries are at the same levels as last 3 or 4 years. So is it attractive? I was also thinking the Sensex is at the same level as last 6 years. Is it attractive? Anyway, that was just a comment in jest.
But startups do more.
startups.
The next question is from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
See, the stocks of NIT Technologies you hold that have gone up quite substantially. Do you want to partly or wholly encash your holding in NIT Technologies?
There are no such plans, Ms. Kaur.
Hello?
No, there are no such plans.
Okay then. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Mehta from Ventura Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is related to our school learning solutions vertical. Now, if you see one of the reasons why we decided to shut our government school business was majorly because of the low margins and delayed payments. But if you see from last few quarters, our pace in ramping down the government school business is quite high. And our total proportion of revenue from non-government school is increasing. But still, our margins are decreasing year on year. Like, it has almost decreased by 200 bps from FY13. So can you just throw some color on the same?
Yeah, I'll just make two comments and hand over to Mr. Rajendra. Two reasons for that. One, when you close the contract, these are five-year contracts. And at that time, there are some transitional expenses which do add up. That's number one, towards the end of the contract. So one contributor to that. Second, please remember that overheads are operating, but at a lower level of revenue. But all those are required because they have to be used for servicing these schools in any case. The third, the private schools are in a scale-up mode. And we are not getting the benefit of the operating leverage as yet because we are getting newer and newer schools. So these are three contributors. Rajiv, you want to add, sir?
I really don't have anything more to add. These three are the key reasons.
So can you just throw some light on what are exactly the overheads and the expenses to close the contract with the government school?
So
it depends on the contract. So for example, In some places, it could be, now 2,505 schools are all over the district. So, what tends to happen is that all the projects, all the schools don't close on the same date. Right. So, the way our, the cost of conveyance, cost of our people moving around, etc., on one side, to close and to take signatures, etc. Second is, it is possible that towards the end of this contract, as we are in a handing over phase, there would be things which we will have to spend money in order to put it back in place, like infrastructure. There could be, let's say, some tables which are broken or some mouse which is missing, etc., etc. We are not talking about theft, the big theft, etc., because those are paid by the insurance companies. That's not the issue. So we do take that kind of costs, which are not substantial, but it is definitely something which we would not have incurred the quarter before in terms of closure.
Okay. And one more question. Can you just tell me the number of non-government schools added in this quarter?
This quarter?
Right.
66.
Now, I just want to let you know that when it comes to selling into schools, since we are not selling just single product, what happens is that, let's say, for example, we have sold ICR into X number of schools. There are a lot of sale of the new other products, whether it is MATLAB, etc. We resell to the same school base. So when you ask new schools, it will be the new schools added afresh where the first sale has happened. But more, there will be many more things which are sold to the other schools. So we are now trying to track the products and the revenue which is more relevant to us as against the purely the new schools. But the number is given to you, Bhavija.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaiwan Dang from GHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. It was a wonderful performance this quarter in the CLS segment. I have a question pertaining to the SLS segment. Here also, we have a sizable opportunity in terms of overall private schools and our students.
Your voice is it is a bit muffled. If you can just, maybe your mouth is too close to the receiver.
Okay.
Yeah, this is okay. What is that? This okay was very clear.
Okay. Sir, can you give us a sense of the overall size of opportunity in the school learning solutions in the non-GSA schools, and both in terms of number of schools as well as number of students that you are looking at, and also your plan of gaining a majority share in this space, since there is very little competition right now?
I agree with you that the competition is a lot of disarray. But you must know that simultaneously the customers also get very demotivated and frustrated in dealing with the sector. So every time a competition goes down, the market size also goes down. You must know temporarily at least.
Okay.
This we have experienced before in education and training. This keeps happening. But let Mr. Rajendran give you the right answer.
No, so the whole private school segment is the market. But having said that, today we are addressing only the CBSE schools among the private schools. So because our curriculum is built towards the CBSE schools, as far as the content, digital content, that is ICR, what we call as ICR is concerned.
Yes.
When it comes to the school management solution or the MathLab product or the IT Wizard product, they may not be the IT Wizard, but the other two products, they are relevant to more private schools. IT Wizard is also aligned to the CBSE curriculum. And right now we are going through a little revamp of that product. We have unveiled the marketing launch during this quarter. And we expect that will actually support getting more orders. So conclude the response to your question, frankly, we've got a lot of headroom in terms of target market. There are some sales-related issues I told you. We pulled out the capex, which has created definitely increased selling cycle. We tightened the credit policy this quarter, second quarter. The impact is coming in second and third quarter.
Yeah.
So earlier we would take one quarter's amount and then sign the order, and sometimes you don't take also depending on the customer. Right now we are insisting on at least two quarters of advance, and that is once again pushing the selling cycle, because that is not necessarily how the local competition and the known competition, which you know, have been operating. So, but once again, this is transitory, according to me, and this will improve as we go forward.
Sir, there was another talk that was going on that all the state boards would be
ultimately aligned to the CBSE board a few years down the line. So, is anything happening on the ground relating
to this, sir?
It has not yet happened. There are, from what I know, there are one or two states who have stated that. But the changeover has not happened. But in terms of going future, that is a great opportunity. Having said that, government, state schools aligning to CBSE, issue once again is who is the buyer for our products and services.
Yeah.
If it is once again the government in L1 tender mode,
okay,
then you know we are again going to be pushed like how we have been pushed in the past.
Yeah.
So we have to figure out innovative ways, because there may be, like an SSA, there may be different kinds of funding available. Things may not be going by a 300 schools or a 10,000 schools. It may be in municipality funds or smaller funds where we know that we can get the money upfront. The other thing is in the ICR product, we have now launched another model where what we do is we go to the school, and this is a phenomenon of the quarter three. We have started going to the school and saying that, listen, you may have somebody else's hardware, etc. You might have terminated that person. What we will do is we'll give you a site license for the product.
Yeah.
And then you can use it for 1 year, and after that you can renew it next year. In that process, it is not a monthly payment or a quarterly payment. You have to necessarily pay the amount upfront. Now, this is just launched, and we have a couple of good successes. So we know the belief is coming in our own sales force and people, then this can be done. Otherwise, initially, it is, you know, the whole market is working one way and we are trying to work another way. But I think we are going to lead the market in this direction now.
Okay. Sir, another question pertaining to the SBS. In the earlier quarter, we had seen some encouraging new models, three models that you had mentioned, which are coming up. Do we see any further clarity in SBS and any turnaround in the profitability or the EBITDA level?
Yeah. As the volumes grow in skill building solutions,
yes,
we do expect that more and more centers or more and more locations will become profitable. Overall, I think now onwards, we expect that the losses that the business is incurring will come down. We do believe that sometime during the year, more towards the latter part of the year, we do see that it will work towards a break-even level. There are a number of experiments in mobilization that we have been doing, and I think now we are beginning to see what works and what does not work, because we are frankly dealing with a fairly unknown part of the society who does not read newspaper, who does not congregate at one place, and who are in general dissatisfied with the system, to get them back into the mainstream,
yeah,
and make them have a strong social status, I think are the key challenges that we are facing. But things are improving every quarter. In fact, last quarter we doubled the enrollment over the previous quarter.
Okay.
And that's been the case for last two or three quarters, I would say. So we are hoping that this momentum will be maintained and the business should start reducing its losses.
Okay. Sir, we read in the paper that NASSCOM is going to take up initiative of imparting vocational skills in colleges and other universities. So does NIIT see it as an opportunity to tie up with these, say, NASSCOM body or universities to provide these skill building and training solutions? Do we have any kind of...
Absolutely. We are already NASSCOM partners and we welcome this initiative.
Okay. So are we looking towards any concrete steps taken forward in this direction?
See, the point is NASSCOM and NIIT are more than willing and have been more than willing. Right now the colleges are actually grappling with a new situation which they had not faced earlier, which is shortage of admissions.
Yeah.
As you know, a large number of engineering colleges have had a large amount of capacity go unused last year. Mm-hmm. Nearly 35% by my 40%, I am told, last estimate. Now, therefore, they have a huge pressure of that. They also realize that the solution to that pressure is to provide better employability. To get better employability, they would have to give them better skills. But I think they are right now too preoccupied with the economic challenges that they are facing. We do hope this situation will improve, so we have to remain persistent at that.
Okay. Sir, another interesting development that had happened was... investor, Mr. Ashish, the one had entered significantly. So does it bring any expertise or any business relationship to the company, or how do we see any change in the...
Well, business? every new investor brings new expertise and new insights.
Yeah.
Very much like your questions right now are creating new insights, Master. So, and of course, Ashish has been an investor in his old avatar with NIIT. We are familiar with him. And I think his coming back is the restoration of confidence of many kinds. And we therefore welcome it. And he's also a very keen investor who has many questions and he contributes in many ways. So we do expect to get the benefit of his wisdom and advice as we go forward.
Okay. So one final just thought is that we have seen a lot of excitement and enthusiasm among the Indian students in MOOCs and particularly offered by what is like Coursera. So is there any opportunity for NIIT to go along with such organizations like Coursera to promote our brand as well as IT education in India?
Most certainly. In fact, if I may venture to say that cloud campus is one way by which MOOCs are being monetized. In fact, when we were speaking to one of these providers, there are three big providers, as you know, of MOOCs.
Yeah.
Coursera is one of them. And when we were talking to them, they said, well, we are still struggling with the business model while you guys have already monetized it. So cloud campus is a certain way in which MOOCs and the possibility that MOOCs offer is getting monetized. So definitely there is a huge possibility going forward.
Thank you, sir, and all the best for the entire FY14 and 15 as well, sir.
Thank you very much for your very insightful questions.
Thank you, sir.
As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you very much. We did extend beyond the time that we have stipulated. My apologies for that. But your questions were fairly insightful, like always, and we benefited a great deal. So we look forward to your continued cooperation and continued interest in NIIT. As well as giving us new ideas and continuing to help us grow to serve our student community better. So with that, thank you very much, and we look forward to being in touch. We are available to you on email. My colleague Kapil Saurabh, as well as my other colleagues, are available to you for any questions or clarifications that you may have. There were no carry forward questions which we had not answered, so there is nothing that I have to revert back today. So, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.